Ladies and passionate people, Andy here, day 250 of the Inner Winner Show. This is an interview that I did with Joe from Passion Unchained. I've had him on the podcast quite a few times. And this time we sat down to talk about dealing with past trauma, how to start having more fulfilling relationships, longer term relationships with women, how to chase your goals and passions, and why you shouldn't punch your llama. Enjoy.
I literally stopped at a red light and I saw a dime outside my door and I opened up the door and picked it up and closed the door.
A homeless person needs that more than you do. They need to buy like fucking malt liquor or something.
Anyway,
I've tried to fuck them, but they keep turning me down. So that shirt that you're wearing, I issued a challenge on my forums and I said, anyone that can like wear this stupid fucking shirt that I found that says this guy fucks and go and talk to like five women, I'll give you like $50. And you know what pissed me off? You did it within like 5 minutes, which I was like fucking proud of you. Okay, you did it within like 5 days. Like you bought the shirt and you just immediately did it. But do you know what pissed me off?
When I got it in, I immediately did it. But it took five days to get there.
But like what pissed me off is that nobody else did. There's like 10 other people that are like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And like a bunch of people that are like, yeah, I bought the shirt too. And I even after you won the challenge, I said, right, I'll give a second place challenge like $30 and a third place challenge like $15. Like I still, and then no one. Like you were the only person.
Hell no.
So I guess we can put the challenge out. If anyone else is listening to this right now, if there is anyone listening to this podcast, right? If we have more than zero listeners right now, go and buy this shirt. I guess I should leave a link in the description, shouldn't I? To like where you can buy this shirt.
Yeah.
Let me write that down. Where you can buy the stupid shirt. Go buy this shirt. Go talk to five girls in person. You just have to say like, hey, you're cute. And you have to ask for their phone number. Like hit on them properly. Record it. Either like record the audio. Just have your phone and record the audio. Or get someone else to film it. Or just whatever you got to do. Record it. Because Joe recorded his. And I verified it. Oh. And then I will send you guys.
My friend recorded.
Got a friend, yeah. With pretty fucking good footage, I will say. It was actually good goddamn footage. I'll pay anyone $30. The next person who wears this stupid shirt that you have, this guy Fox. Plus you get bragging rights. You get to come on my podcast and I get to say like you're a superhero. So you're a superhero, by the way. You're an American hero.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about.
I went to the gym a couple times afterwards.
You have not.
It was really fun. I have.
You fucking idiot.
This is an athletic shirt. Like I got the athletic shirt. I thought it meant it was like nicely fitted, but it actually turns out it's the spandex material, which is why it was super expensive. And I'm like, oh, okay, nice surprise. I'll just wear it to the gym.
It actually looks like a decent shirt. Yeah. I tell you what, my biggest fear, so to speak, is like this poster, like, that I'll forget to take it down. And at this point, I just do forget to take it down. And so, like, we'll be sleeping with a girl or something. And just, like, there's that poster. Like, this guy fucks.
Well, I don't think they... I mean, with your personality, I think they're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Yeah, I guess so. The blue. Probably. I've got, like, a bunch. I bought a... Yeah, you go. Yeah, put your hand up. We're going to... For anyone listening or watching, we're going to put our hand up when so we didn't interrupt each other. We're horrible for interrupting each other. Okay, you go.
Okay. So one time a long time ago, I was very horny and didn't have any girls and I was like on a drawing binge and I'm a pretty good sketch artist. I'm if I could say so myself. And I sketched a vagina. Like I looked up a picture of a vagina and I like drew it and I was like, I don't really want to watch porn, but like I'll draw a vagina. And so I drew a vagina.
Don't tell me you jerked off over your own picture.
No, but I have it pasted above my bed.
I've always wondered if like artists can get themselves off, like if you can just draw something and jerk off over it. Like if you're a really like detailed artist.
In their minds.
That's hot. So yeah, but let's talk.
I have this picture of a vagina like pasted right above my bed and I want to finish this real quick. And then a lot of girls like come over and they're like a lot. Sometimes it's like as they're sitting down in my bed, they're like, oh, that's a vagina. And I'm like, yeah. Or it's like sometimes it's like after we have sex. They're like, oh, I didn't even notice. There's a vagina right there. And I'm like, yeah, I drew that. And they're like, oh, nice.
We could have an entire conversation about like when you do this shit, like this poster, if you had this poster up when, like if I put that poster up when I was a newbie, when I was first starting to get laid, I feel like it would come across as like weird. There's a world in which it would come across as weird. Same as you wearing that shirt. But once you get to a point where you're confident, it's like you get to break all the rules. Like there's certain rules with getting laid. Like, just be a bit more normal. Like, you know, don't be like weird or anything. But once you get laid a fair bit, you get to like throw all those rules out the window. It's like any endeavor. If you get really good at art, you get to just start breaking all the rules. Same as podcasts. You get to break all the Yeah, bro. And I feel like with getting laid, like I've come full circle back to like my original type of personality, which was like, which is like doing weird shit and not caring anymore. Like literally doing weird shit to see if I can like make girls giggle or something.
Yeah. Because
like, this guy fucks. Yeah. And like, you're the same. I know you're the same. Like just doing like experimenting almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm mostly like, so like I'm mostly like, sometimes I do weird shit, but I think most of the time it's just like, I'm pretty friendly. Like I was walking around with, we have a friend. Can I say the dude's name that I met today that I was hanging out with?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Cause I'm doing a podcast with him in a couple of, in like a week. And so, yeah, Ed.
Yeah. So I was hanging out with Ed and, we were hitting on girls at Zilker Park, which here in Austin is like a really cool like park where like people hang out. And there's one girl, got her number. We have like a thing potentially planned, soon. And, I was like, hey, like blah, 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 like you're cute. And then like I just sat down next to her and like just chatted with her like right next to her. So it was like really, really friendly. Like that's usually my interactions. It's like I'm clear, like, hey, you're cute. And then like, do you have a boyfriend? And so I'm pretty clear. Like they know what I want, and then I talk to them, and then I either try to make plans right then or I try to make plans like later. And when I get a number, like I usually don't like to be like get the number and then fuck off. I like to be like, I like to figure out logistics and then get the number, because then it's like, it's more likely to happen. It's like, it's not like you don't have to do that, but I found like, if I'm like, hey, so, you know, are you free tomorrow at 7? Like as I'm getting the number.
Yeah. It's funny how you play around with like, you play around with all this different stuff. And I used to do like pretty similar. I'd get her phone number and then just be like, you know, I just keep chatting after that. I'd be like I'd talk about what we're going to do. I'd be like, yo, we'll go, I know this like cool bar, we'll go there. You know, like when are you free? Yeah. Because you can do that shit over text or in person. I feel like
it's just.
No, you go. You go. Yep. Okay. Your hands up.
Maybe it's just in my mind, but I think that reduces flakes.
What I've found, right, is I make it really clear on my website that I don't think there's like one thing that works the best, like the one method that works better than any others. Mm-hmm. What I found works best is like you, Joe, figure out what the hell works best for Joe. I, Andy, figure out what works best for Andy. Because what will work best for me is usually going to be like, there'll be similarities, but it will usually be whatever I like doing. Because I'm just more comfortable with that. I'm going to go more in. I'm going to do it more. I'm going to do a better job at it. I'll practice it more. I'll refine it. I'll become really efficient at it. I'll tweak little bits and pieces. Like, it never ceases to amaze me how different, like, what you do. It's not radically different, but there's, like, enough differences in what you're doing versus what I'm doing.
Radically
and like
radically different.
Yeah, he's going to be very happy that we shouted him out. Radical is the moderator on my forums for anyone who doesn't know. He's bald, like me.
Hatfish.com is a really good
shout out to his website. Yeah.
Cool as fuck. I'm actually using that in my Tinder ebook for like my photo shoot clients. I'm like, outfit suggestions, go to this website and get his ebook.
I'm gonna do a podcast and a some sort of article or something. So here's a spoiler for all of you guys listening. I'm gonna do a podcast and a maybe something on the website. He's been talking about like a style guide, like do an actual proper style guide on my website. Cause he talked about he wants it on my website rather than his, just because I have a bigger audience. And I'm fine with that. Like, yeah.
Let me know, because right now in my I do Tinder photo shoots, and right now in the ebook that I'm putting together that I give to my clients in their style, I say, hey, like I could write something out here, but this guy has already done it on thehatfish.com. Go sign up.
But yeah, that's what I do at the moment too. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's going to do a more in-depth one on your site, then I'll just link to that instead. So let me know.
Because that's kind of the mission, I feel like. Like there's quite a few of the guys like us in this community, as in like on my forums, and you know what I mean by community. Like I feel like the end goal will be, we have like a database or a library, like a collection of like different guides. Like here's how to get laid on Tinder. Here's how to get laid in person. We already have like Good Looking Loser for that. You know, here's how to improve your style. Here's how to lose weight. Here's how to make money. I want to start doing content around like making money when I'm a little further along, like stuff like that. Here's how to try psychedelics. Like that could be you. Like, I feel like I want to start building a community again.
Trying to think of like what kind of things I could do. Like, try psychedelics is one. get over like a shitty traumatic past is another.
Yep, for sure, man. For you, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like travel, like solo travel. I mean, obviously like Radical could do that too. We definitely like different types of travel though. So like I could also do some solo travel stuff, and I've done couch surfing.
Yeah.
Radical, like I went on Radical's YouTube channel and did a few videos about travel. And so like travel's another one I could do, like content. I mean, you could do content creation too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So there's some stuff I could do there.
Yeah. I want to have like a database, like that. That's like the end goal. I'm talking like five or 10 years away from now, but like,
that's cool.
Almost like a university. Like,
oh shit.
You know what I mean? Like you go to the website and there's like five different courses that you could take. Like the Tinder guide is obviously like the first one that's already done. And then maybe a threesome course and then like a BDSM course and a traveling around the world course, making friends. I really want to tackle that. On that note, you guys, he's the fucking legend at that. But do you know who else would be good at that? My girlfriend, Imogen. So I'll give you guys another spoiler of some content I'm going to do in the future. How to make friends on Bumble. How to make friends on Bumble, dog. Like, so
the BFF thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So like Imogen has like only one friend here because we just moved here. Right. And so she's like, how do I make friends? Right. And I was like, well, meet up. Uh-huh. So she went to a few meetups and then I was like, do you know what you should fucking try? You should try Bumble. And so she's been on there. Bro, it seems like amazing for making friends. I'm going to go on there and fuck around with it a bit and try and make some friends on there too. Like it seems insanely. There's like hundreds of people on there. Like, and
does
you
the
just
girl
like
still have to message first?
No, well, because they don't. Yeah. They don't. No one has to message first, which is cool.
But
like
what
you
if
just
a
do
guy,
whatever.
Like wants to date other guys and he's on Bumble. Does like nobody ever message anyone?
No.
Or does one person
wait, I don't know, actually. I don't know. Does Bumble let gay dudes like on there? They probably are. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. I know for girls, like, either of you can message, but you still have to do it within 24 hours. But yeah, imagine for guys, it's like neither of you. You need to wait for a woman to come in and, like, message for one.
It's like opposite. It's like the matriarchy.
Are there even any gay dudes on Bumble? Like, surely they'd just be on like Hinge or Grindr.
Well, it was really funny. I there's a Bumble office here in town. I didn't realize what it was. I had like a it said Bumble on it. I didn't realize it was an office. I thought it was like a pop up store or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I do Uber and I like had stopped an Uber ride and I'm like walked in. And so I like go up, I open the door and there are like 50 people inside and they all look at me at the same time. And I'm like instantly like super intimidated. I'm like, oh, sorry. I just, bye. And then I like closed the door and ran away. I think they're having like a stand-up meeting or something.
It's probably some cult. Like, I think that place is a cult. I think Bumble itself is a cult. Wouldn't surprise me. But let's go down this. Let's like keep down this topic. Cause like you mentioned different energies and that was kind of what we were going to talk about a little bit on this podcast.
Okay.
Like, feminine energy, masculine energy, submissive. Yeah, now we're talking. Submissive.
Yeah.
Like, and I also want to tie it into a question that you asked in the Winners Club. It was something like, I like being dominant, but I don't always want to be dominant.
Yeah.
Let's like start talking
also
about
like
that
being
shit.
Submissive too. Like,
I do too every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like, often, but like every now and then I need to scratch that itch.
Yeah, it's like a fun, it's almost like being on a roller coaster. I think of it like that. Like, and that's why girls like being submissive. Like I get to just lay back and let whatever happens happen. And now.
Yeah, and it's kind of exhausting being dominant all the time. Oh my God. I mean, I like it. I like but it can be very exhausting.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause I don't have that. The only reason I ever like to try being submissive is cause it's hot as fuck. Like if a girl's like being sexual and she's like taking the lead and she's doing shit, like I find that sexy as fuck. Most guys would find that sexy, but I don't ever find dominant is like energy for me. It gives me energy. So this is interesting because this is like different BDSM
like,
dynamics.
It's just, so it doesn't, it gives me energy too, but it's like, sometimes I just want to lay back and I just want to like not have to do any effort.
Do you use in those moments when you're laying back, do you use sex as like a reward? And where I'm going with this is like, you've had a long day or a hard day or something, and you're like, I just want to chill and have like a, like, you know how we talk about self-medication, but in a good way. Like, I'm going to watch something nice, or I'm going to have a nice steak. Do you ever use sex for that?
Like, steak every single time you mention.
I know. Bro, I'll show you my, I should go into the fridge and bring out this big fucking juicy steak that I have.
Oh my goodness. I guess that's one way to say it. And never really thought of it that way. Well, so it's interesting. So like with girls, what I'll do is like, I kind of like incorporate it in sex. Like I don't be like, okay, now you're submissive. It's like, what I'll do is I'll like be on top of her. I'll like hug her really tight, then roll on my back so she's on top of me. And then I like let go. And then if she doesn't do anything, I'll be like, okay, you do what you want to do.
Yeah. It's funny how you still have to prompt them to be dominant a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a role that they've done. Easy. Yeah.
No, but like if you do that, like I find that girls tend to like know what's going on.
Yeah. So for anyone listening, I've mentioned this a million times. If you want girls to be more dominant, just give them a little prompt. It's almost like you're giving them permission. It's like it's not something they know that a lot of girls know that they're allowed to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of girls, I don't know if you've had this. I don't know how many conversations you have with girls like after sex or during sex, like about this kind of shit, like other guys that they've slept with, but. What I've found in those conversations is a bunch of girls say like, I tried being dominant one time and he just like freaked out and didn't like it.
Oh,
like, I've heard that so many times.
Yeah,
the guy's just like, nah, he wasn't into it. Like he thought I was being a slut or something.
Oh, that's weird. Like, I mean, the worst reaction that a girl will have with me is like, I'll just push her down and like be dominant. Like that's kind of fun though. That's not really a bad reaction. Like if I don't want her to be dominant right then, I'll just like hold her down.
That can be really fucking fun. Like for any of you guys listening, like obviously ease your way into it. But like when you start playing with different dynamics, like being bratty, don't punch her in the nose. I would aim for the cheekbone mostly. Like I wouldn't go for the bridge of the nose because you can break it and cause damage. And that easily shows up like when she goes to the ER. But if you hit the face, it doesn't. Don't fucking hit women, okay? That's going to get taken out. Someone's going to like clip that, right? And just me like talking about how to domestically violate your.
We're both canceled.
Yeah, immediately canceled. But seriously though, like that can be such a fun dynamic where like she starts being dominant and you let her for a little bit and you encourage it. But then all of a sudden you just like switch it and you just like, because you're stronger than her. Like almost always you will be stronger than any woman.
I'm a fucking wimp. Like I can't even lift like a 50 pound. I can't bench 50. It's crazy.
50 what?
Pounds. I'm such a wimp.
Are you being facetious? You're like twice the size of me. I was going to say
you're fucking taller. I mean, like I might be more muscular, but you're like twice the size upwards of me.
Then you should be able to bench more than me. My arms have to do like an epic journey when I bench press. It's like I'm doing a fucking marathon.
Epic journey.
When I squat as well, it's like going up to Mount Everest and all the way back down.
I got my DNA results back, and I have the power lifter gene.
What is the power lifter gene? That means you can be like Eddie Hall.
Yeah, so apparently it means that I'm more efficient at building muscle, and that specifically my short twitch muscle fibers are like, there's like, I code for like a good protein or whatever for them. And then it suggests that a better work, like for me specifically and people with this genotype, it's better to lift high load, low rep. So like lifting near my max five.
Yeah, like a proper power lifter.
Well, yeah. And for some other people, like it might be better to lift low weight, but for like high reps. So it's just, but for me, for this type, it's like, it's easy for me to build muscle apparently, and I should lift high load and low rep.
I should probably do one of these test things it's just the fucking genome test, right? Like the DNA test.
So what I did was the 23andMe.
Yeah.
I did just the ancestry and traits, and then you can download your raw data, which is just like literally like all your letters of your DNA. They don't like test all of it. It tests like 30 or 60% of it or whatever, but it's like 19 megabytes of like letters and locations. It's like it's pretty crazy. It's like a spreadsheet. That's like 19.
How do you know it's not just like random letters and numbers that they just like, here's a random string of characters. There you go.
I trust them. And then I put it into another website. She's been on the Rogan Experience 4 times. Her name's Dr. Rhonda Patrick. And she's like,
yeah, I know her. She's cool as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. So she has a website called Found My Fitness. I'm not an affiliate or anything, but it's like $25. You take the data from 23andMe and then you upload it and pay $25, and then she gives you like all the research.
Okay. Okay.
What that means, like health research. And it's more than 23andMe will give you. Plus it's more up to date, and you can like, you could either pay $25 one time, or you can pay like 10 or I didn't do this. You can like pay like 10 or 15 a month, and then she'll email you with updates. Like if they find another, like they find out like another gene means something and you have it, then like it'll update you, and then they'll send you an email with like new information about your health stuff when studies come out.
That's really fucking cool, man.
Yeah. So that's how I found out about my muscles and shit.
You found out that you had muscles?
Yeah, I didn't know before that. I had to read it in the study.
Yeah, me too. Let's switch to a serious topic.
Okay.
Crazy serious. So we got to put on our serious hats. Yep. So you, one thing that you're working on, for guys who don't know, so you're in the Winners Club, and we talk about like a bunch of different stuff that you're working on. And one of the things that you're working on is being more vulnerable and authentic with women. Because for context, I think we touched on this in the last podcast, but we didn't go like super deep. Like you used to be, or you're usually like Mr. Fuckboy. You're like king of the fuckboys, right?
I mean, just look at my fucking hat backwards.
He's got his hat backwards, guys.
And the shirt.
If you couldn't tell from the, it's like, it's an ironic shirt, but it's actually accurate. So, but. You were mostly going for like short-term flings. Like you have no issues with getting laid, like in person, on Tinder. It doesn't matter. Like you can do that pretty easily. But like at this point in time, you're starting to move away from, okay, I don't just want one night stands. I don't just want casual flings. I want something like a little more ongoing, even if it's just like friends with benefits, but like something that isn't just like one time. And Imogen and I have been doing the same shit for the last like 6 months, I'd say. Maybe for the last year, but definitely the last 6 months. Like moving away from those like shallow, I don't like the word shallow, but you know what I mean. Like those one time or maybe two time things, screening a little harder, figuring out like what kind of like personality traits you want from a girl, like what kind of girl you think would stick around with you for a little longer, or like you could stick around with her. So like, how has that shit been going? Like, how's it been going? And like, what things have you been doing? Is it just like screening harder? Like how have you been making that happen?
So yeah, it's been screening harder. We were coaching, and then I also talked about it in the group and on the forums. One thing I started to do is I started to be like, when I like, usually in the first date, well, actually like, okay. So first of all, like in the message when I'm like, hey, you're cool. So you have a Tinder guide, and the last message on Tinder is like, you asked a few questions, and then it's like, hey, you're cool. Like, I'm not looking for anything serious. What's your number? Let's meet up. And I say something like, I have it like literally like in my keyboard shortcuts. So I just say, if I type in what's your number with no spaces, it'll just pop up and it'll be like, hey, you're cool. I'm not looking for anything serious, super serious. I'm also not looking for a one night stand. Ideally something in the middle, fun, close, consistent. If that's cool with you, dot, dot, dot. And so like I say that. And so then if they give me their number, then it's like they've read that. They're cool with that. And then in person, I'll be like, hey, like, I'm not just trying to get in your pants. I really mean that, like, I don't really want to one-night stand. Like, if we like each other, I hope to see you again. If you're just looking for a one-night stand, I'm not going to judge you, but, like, I prefer you let me know now so that, you know, I can take you home or whatever. And that seems to screen them out. I haven't done that too often just because I haven't really been focusing on dating for the past few weeks. But for the last girl that I got together with, that worked. Yeah.
And Imogen and I are doing pretty much the same thing. Like we're just having a conversation being like, hey, I know we're a couple and like you probably think this is just like once or twice, but just like, so you know, we're looking for something like ideally where you see us for like a reasonably long amount of time. Like that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And we haven't done it yet. We're going to do it with the next girl that we meet. Like whenever we meet the next girl, we're going to start telling them directly. Imogen phrased this, so I can't remember how to phrase it, like, but she phrased it really, really well. So I'll just use whatever she said, but it will be something like, we'll tell them, hey, just so you know, we usually the first time don't have sex with someone. Like we want to meet, get to know each other a little bit, and we'll just have a drink and stuff. And then if we like each other, we'll meet a second time and then we'll have sex. So we're going to start going down that path, like deliberately not having sex until the second date, because that's obviously going to make girls like, they have to be invested enough to wait till date. You're screening out all the one night stands, all the girls who just want to get fucked right now. They have to be patient enough to wait for date two. You also have to build like a little bit of chemistry because you're going on a first date and not doing anything. It's not as sexual. So we're going to start going down that route. And for anyone listening, like, I'm sure, okay, this isn't going to like blow minds, but I'm sure it's a very different like mindset and paradigm shift for a lot of guys listening. They'll be like, wait, what you two are talking about, Joe and Andy, what you guys are talking about is like, you're interviewing the girls? Like you're screening the girl. Are you serious? Like, how do you, like, it is a mindset shift and you only really get there from experience. Like you're not really going to force this when you've only had sex with like three girls.
For me. It's really recent for me to be like, well, what do I want in a girl? Like, I'm worthy enough of like wanting something specific, you know, and like not like I turned down sex a few times recently and it just feels fucking powerful. It feels like different.
It feels good. It's like you don't have that neediness because you did used to have like, for context, quite a bit of neediness. Like we even talked about this in the group.
But like I'm needy. I'm still needy, but it's like, I get attached to a girl once I can tell that she likes me and wants to keep seeing me. And then like, I usually fuck it up out of need. So that's my main thing right now that I'm getting over. And like, there is a recent situation that was like, has to do with this, where I get really attached to a girl once I see that she wants to see me and is cool with it. And I honestly think like, I alluded to having a really shitty past. I honestly think that this probably some kind of, it has to do with that. It has to do with some kind of protection mechanism where like, if I can tell that a girl, I'm not going to say exactly the details on this podcast. I actually have said a lot of it on my own YouTube channel. But
which I'll leave a link in the description below to Joe's channel, by the way.
Cool shit. Passion Unchained. But like, all you need to know really is that I was abused by my mom emotionally, extremely abused, manipulated and stuff. And so when a girl like kind of opens up and I can see that she likes me, it's almost like I'm like, oh, danger incoming, and then I like push her away. So I have to figure this out for myself. It's like, how do I have like my blueprint of a woman be like nice and like supportive rather than emotionally manipulative, like my expectations of what women are.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working through right now.
And it's like you have to go through the entire blueprint and take it apart piece by piece and see, like dismantle the whole thing and say, okay, this framework or this blueprint, this template that I have from my childhood is not helping me anymore. It served a purpose. Yeah. It helped me like keep myself safe. It's not serving a purpose now, or I want to move past it. You have to like completely dismantle it and then pick through the pieces and start putting it back together and say, which of these bits do I want to keep? Some of the old behaviors and habits and stuff you built up, you will keep, but a lot of it you will throw away. It's up to you to like blow it all apart. We've talked about LSD and shit. Like that's a tool I know you use. We're not advocating for or against it, but like you've used that to like dismantle some of these like rules and like the habits and the shoulds and stuff like that. You have to like dismantle and see what you want to keep, like what template you want to build now. Cause I think I said this to you in the Winners Club, right? I said something like, I wrote this big, long, passionate, like couple of paragraphs. And it was something like, this is your universe. Like you get to construct Joe's universe, however you want.
I love that one.
Yeah. Like, essentially what I was saying is like, it's your world. You get to do whatever the fuck you want, man. It's up to you. Like, who do you want to be? You get to choose. What girls do you want to have in your life? You get to choose. What friends? You get to choose. Like, it's your fucking universe. We just happen to be like, even me, we just happen to be like extras in your movie. Like you get to fucking decide where that movie goes or where that train goes, whatever analogy you want to use. Like, it's your universe.
Yeah. I really like that analogy. It kind of resonates for me, especially because, and it's just kind of nice. It just kind of makes me feel like I'm in control. And that's one of the things that, that's my current struggle. It's like, it's not like what to do, how to talk to girls. Like I hit on like 6 girls today without really any effort. And there was like good interactions. It was like fun. It was great. And, like whether I got rejected or not, like they're great interactions and I enjoyed them. And like, that's not the problem for me. The problem for me is emotional, because I don't want one night stands. I can get one night stands, but I don't want one night stands. And so it's like, how do I emotionally come to a point where I'm really not, because one of the things I continue to do, I'm working on, is I still push girls away.
Yes.
When I don't want to. So that's the thing that's kind of like, that's why I think, especially once I'm over this, but even up to this point, like, I've been through some real hard emotional shit. Like, if you met me when I was 21, like, yeah, like, nobody would want to be around me. I was extremely mentally ill. I was just a fucking wreck.
You and me both, buddy.
Heaping pile of mess. So it's kind of amazing how, like, you can get out of that and get to a point where you're functional and you're like, you've got like a lot going for you. It's pretty cool.
I think that's also worth like a little note. It's worth me underlining something that you didn't quite say, but it's worth pulling out, is that everybody has their own struggles. And a lot of guys would listen to this and say, like, because for context, you've had sex with what? Like 100? You've had sex with more people than me, I think. Like 150, something insane, right?
Like, not more than you, but like close. So I lost count at 60, but it's like 110, 120, something like that. Somewhere around there.
And most guys would listen to that and go like, holy fuck, like this guy must have a perfect life. Like people would do the same shit with me. Like, that's what I'm highlighting here. It's like, yes, getting laid definitely adds to your life. Of course it does. Of course, just like having a lot of money is better than having no money. Getting laid a lot is better than being a virgin. Of course. But everybody has their own struggles. Everybody's going through their own shit. It's like you're on your own, you know, I used the analogy of a movie before, but you're on your own race. We're all running our own race or doing our own marathon, whatever analogy you want to use. And you've all got your own hurdles that you have to overcome. And they're kind of your unique hurdles to overcome. I don't like that people play this. It's like, what's it called? Like oppression Olympics, if you know what I mean by that. Where you say like, my life is worse than yours. You know, you have more privilege than me. People even do it. They don't mean to do it. I'm sure you've seen some people even do it on like my forums and stuff. And I jump in there and I say, stop doing this, but people will compare. They'll say like, my life is worse than anyone else's, or I'm more depressed than anyone else.
I haven't seen it, but I mean,
I've had a couple of people's, and you'll be surprised.
Than I do, so,
you'll be surprised how many coaching clients come to me and say, my life is worse than anybody else's. And I always have my perfect go-to answer. I say, you're arrogant as fuck. And that always just floors them. I'm like, you're an arrogant fucking piece of shit. And I'm really harsh with how I say it. I literally say that. I'm like, you're an arrogant cunt. And I'll just let it sit there. I won't say it. I'll be silent for like 20 seconds. And they're like, whoa, what?
Once or twice.
Yeah. And it works, dude. Because it's like, holy shit, I needed that. Like, I needed to get slapped. And that doesn't mean you don't empathize with someone saying like, my life sucks. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes we do need a slapping of reality and to remember, like, there are other people in the world too. They're suffering too. Like, this isn't a competition. I'm just going to focus on my stuff. There's nothing to be gained from saying my life is worse than somebody else's, because all that does is make you a victim. If your life is worse, then that means you have less chance of fixing it. It's better to say, my life is bad, sure. I got some stuff I need to fix, but I'm going to work on that, rather than like, I'm worse off than anybody else's. It's making it a competition doesn't help.
Yeah, like, you don't want to incentivize yourself to have problems. Like, that's one of the things that that's one of the things that my parents did with like the abuse. So like, I'm very sensitive to that. I don't put up with victimhood. Like, I have a very visceral negative reaction.
Because your parents played the victim card with you? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah. So with the abuse that they had, like, it was that the way that they abused me, in particular my mom, the way that she abused me, it necessitated her being a victim. And so like, I have a very visceral reaction.
And you should do. That's like a self-preservation. Like, you need that so that shit never happens to you again. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm vehemently against like somebody being like, oh, woe is me, blah, 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 blah. Like, I used to just like try to like yell them out of it. And then now I just like walk away. Like, I'll just like, okay, I don't ever want to talk to this person ever again.
I'm the same man because I see that in myself because I was a victim for so many years. Like I told myself I was a victim for so many years and that just made me miserable and depressed and didn't fix any of my problems. I did that shit for like 8 years. Oh, poor me. This sucks. Life is suffering. Mm-hmm. And so now if I see that I do the same shit, if someone wants to be a victim, sorry, you can't be on my forum. Sorry, I can't help you with coaching. Sorry. You can't leave a comment. I'll delete your comment. If you write that on my, I've deleted comments from my YouTube and from my, cause I'm not interested in having that anywhere near me. Just like it sounds like you're not either. Because I don't think it helps at the end of the day.
I mean, if a friend is having a bad day and that's like out of character for them, it's like, I'll try to talk them out of it.
That's not victim mentality though.
That's a bad day. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
If it's like a day where you're like, oh fuck, like I just feel really shitty. Like, I don't know what's going on. But even my friends, like I have one friend in particular, the guy that I, he actually made an account on the forums and then didn't do anything. Cause he's also part of like five other accountability groups. So like, that's why he didn't do anything. Cause he's like, he didn't do anything because he's way too busy being accountable to other people. But he's the guy I do like the weekly and daily thing with.
The check-ins, yeah.
Yeah, and so he'll be like, every now and then he'll be like, because he's a real estate agent in Portland and he hasn't sold a house yet. And he's like getting really down on himself and it's really hard for him to like continue taking action towards it. And so he'll be like, weeks and like there'll be like days where he's like, dude, like I feel like so horrible, like I didn't do this, I feel so unmotivated, like what's going on here, like shouldn't I be motivated, like I want this, what's going on? But it's never like I'm like all this hard stuff so I'm not gonna try. It's like all this hard stuff because I care so much because I'm trying so hard.
Yeah, that's the opposite of victim mentality. That's like taking action. Like, to be clear, we're not saying don't complain. I complain all the fucking time, like so do you. Like, that's sometimes you need to vent that shit. We're not saying don't be a little bitch. What we're saying is don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't sit there and say, because what you do by saying that is you're basically saying I can't change it. Like if you start saying feel sorry for me, now you're just focusing on the problem and you're not looking for solutions. If you say like, oh, give me sympathy and pity, I can't stand pity. I empathize with people. I'm very empathetic. I sympathize with people, but I will never give pity on someone. If someone says, take pity on me, you're dead to me. Like, you don't exist in my world. I don't want anything to do with you. I will never give pity to anyone. I will give sympathy and empathy and help and love and all of those things, but not pity. No, fuck you. Because pity is, I can't change this. Feel sorry for me. Like, I can't respect that. I can't respect that. Because anyone can change anything. I get that some shit is hard. You might fail a million times, of course. God knows you and I have. God knows we're still fucking up right now. Like, literally in this moment. Right?
Oh, yeah. But 100%.
At least trying. I respect anyone who tries.
Yeah.
As long as they're like putting in the effort and they get there eventually and they don't quit. As long as you've taken the first step. So maybe I shouldn't say try, but I respect anyone who takes one step and then keeps going. It's like, yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. You started. So anyone who starts, I respect.
I respect that. I like that view. I also want to say something about pity because I found that the times where I'm, and this, I'm not trying to be cliche or like, yay, happy thoughts. Like, I mean, like, this is an actual pattern that I'm seeing objectively. When I feel super shitty, especially with girls, but like with money or with anything, like when I feel like, let's say I feel like super lonely and I really, 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 really want a girl. Like, I remember a specific moment, and this is a pattern, but there's a specific moment I remember. I was in the hostel in Latvia. I'm not going to say the hostel because they're fucking assholes. They tried to get me out of the hostel. And like, there's this big Russian security guard that was literally like, put your stuff together faster. And he like was like this, and he was like five times my size, and he was almost going to punch me in the face. It was like, it was really fucked up. But so fuck the hostel. But I was in the hostel, and like I was kind of, I was striking out with girls everywhere. Like I was going on a ton of dates because when you're the foreigner, like Tinder, it like works like fucking magic. Like everyone wants a piece of you because you're exotic. And then I was also like hitting on girls in the hostel. And I remember, and like I had actually like after this moment, well, let me get there. So I was like, I remember one night I was sitting on the bottom bunk and I was crying to myself. And I was like, I'm so lonely. Like, I really want someone. I really want to cuddle somebody. Like, I just really, 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 really wish that this blanket that I'm cuddling, like I'm bunching up and because I can't go to sleep without cuddling something. So I like bunch up the blanket and I'll
cuddle. I'm kind of the same too. I like to get the blanket and just like fucking wrap it around. Yeah, I'm saying
I have a body pillow here at home, and then or if I have a person. But if I'm at a friend's house or somewhere that doesn't have a body pillow, then I'll just like scrunch up the blanket.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's kind of adorable, actually.
Yeah, we're fucking adorable as fuck, bro. Like, ignore the poster.
Teddy bears.
Ignore the fucking poster, but like, yeah. We're just look at the llama and the fucking cuddling.
Yeah. And so I just remember I was crying and I was like, dude, like, I'm so lonely. And then like that same week, I had sex with like a bunch of girls, and then I met like one girl in particular that I dated for 3 weeks, who's a Latvian singer that like travels around the world and was like the nicest girl to me. Like, she was so nice and she was so kind and so feminine, and she like changed my fucking life. And she became like, sometime like most of the time when I'm trying to recreate my blueprint of what a female is, and she's like most of my new blueprint is like her. Because she was just the perfect. We only dated for 3 weeks. It was an amazing fling because I was leaving, coming back to the States. But yeah, she was like fucking amazing. And so like, and this isn't just one time. Like, most of the time when I'm like desperate and like I'm really, and I'm not trying to say this to be like, oh, positive thinking, and like keep in there because positive thinking. I mean, like, objectively, when I feel like super, super shitty, it's usually right before I have a breakthrough. And maybe it's because I try really hard. Like, maybe it's just because like I'm so motivated that I try super hard and I'll like see the opportunities as quickly as possible because I'm starving. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the only reason. But I've noticed that like when I'm super desperate, usually what I want is around the corner.
And that's kind of like, that ties into, that's why we talk about the numbers game all the time. Like, there's that article on Good Looking Loser called Relax, You'll Eventually Get Pussy.
Yeah.
And I used to read that. Mate, I used to read that like hundreds of times when I was going through a rut. The whole gist of the article is like, just chill. Eventually, like, your luck will change, so to speak. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep talking to girls. Keep taking action. And eventually, like, that will come back to you. You'll get the results you want. But you just have to almost trust on blind faith that if you keep going, you will eventually get there. And that shit, I read a similar article called When You're Going Through a Rut. And all I really said was like, just keep going. Like, when you're going through the rut, just I promise you, you're not doing anything wrong. Like, as long as you're still taking the actions, don't just sit on the couch and wait.
Yeah.
But as long as you're still taking the action, just keep going forwards. And eventually you come out the other side and it's like, things are better.
Yeah. Like, I'm going through a rut right now, but like yesterday I hit on a few girls. Today I hit on 6 girls in person and swiped on Tinder and matched and messaged some girls. And like, yeah, I haven't been getting any in the past couple of weeks. A lot of it is because I'm not focusing on girls right now, but like, I'm also starting to put some focus on it temporarily because I'm getting kind of lonely and I'm like, oh, I want to cuddle somebody.
Yeah. And that kind of happens. You go through a period of loneliness, so you try a little harder and then you get some girls and then you can relax a bit and focus on other goals.
Yeah. And so that's my main thing, is I realized that like one thing that kind of came for me is like, I remember when I was still trying to have sex and I wasn't having too much of it. I would get super attached. Like, when I had made out with a girl, like, I got super attached to that. I'm like, got super attached to her and I really wanted to make it go forward. And it was like, if like I made out with a girl and then she didn't want to see me again, it was like crushing. And now it's like, if I sleep with a girl twice, like, it's not the first time, it's the second time, I get really attached to her. And I realized it's because I'm trying to retain girls. I'm trying to find girls that want to come back over and over again. So it's like for me, like, making out was like half, not halfway, but it's like a quarter of the way to sex, right? So I really wanted sex. I wasn't having sex. If I made out with a girl, it's like, oh, okay, like she's a girl that wants to have sex with me, so I'll get really attached to her. And so now it's just like, I want a girl that wants to see me like on a regular basis. And so if a girl fucks me twice, then I get really attached to her. It's the same thing. It's the same pattern.
Nothing that will move forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with it, but you don't want to, for the rest of your life, be getting crazy attached every time you have sex with a girl twice. So, but this is kind of a balancing act, because the red pill people would say, bro, you got to just like do your own thing and don't get attached, and you got to be okay by yourself. And I'm on board with that. I think that's good advice. Then balance that with the idea of like, but it is okay to chase a little bit of validation. You don't want to be completely on your own. Feminine energy is nice. Connecting with another human being is nice, and all that sort of stuff. And chasing that a little bit, as long as you're not going too deep with it, but like looking for that validation, looking for girls who have a connection with you, who give you a good time, who like you, who say, hey, Joe, I like you. I'm going to see you for like a year. Mm-hmm. Like I want, and they stick around. Mm-hmm. Like getting some of that will also kind of scratch that itch a little bit and stop you so being so mm-hmm. desperate for it. You're so desperate for it right now because you don't feel like you've gotten it yet. Once you get it once mm-hmm. or twice, yeah. okay, I'm capable of getting this. Like maybe I can get it in future. Also balance that yeah. with what I said before, which is like you do have to sort of be okay with yourself. And that doesn't mean you have to be okay being lonely forever. I'm not saying that. Sometimes guys go too far in that direction and they go, like the Red Pill guys, a lot of them say, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be okay with yourself for the rest of your life. And like, it's like, we're humans though. Like we kind of like attaching. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to just be by yourself forever.
MGTOW, like literally, sorry, I'm an asshole.
Men, yeah, like men going their own way. Okay, no, we interrupt each other.
It's like in the fucking name of the MGTOW, it's like men going their own way. It's like you're going your own way because like fuck girls and you'll be. It's like, well, I mean, like kind of like girls.
I don't buy that shit though, dude. Like, I would need to see a MGTOW that's happy at 80. Like I need a long-term yeah. study on MGTOW. Like if you're happy at 80 or you're like relatively happy, you don't have to be like crazy happy, but let's say you get to 80 and you don't have too many regrets. You're like, yeah, maybe I could have got with girls, but like this was a cool life. Then I'd be like, okay, cool. I feel like that's very fraught with danger. So for some guys, MGTOW, yeah, absolutely. Sure. I'm sure that works for some people. Just like I don't want to get married. You know, I don't ever want to be monogamous. Like there's mm-hmm. different colors yeah, and different too. Shades of people. Yeah, but I feel like most people want at least some sort of connection with the opposite gender. And I feel like if you're building a community around yeah. like, fuck that, like fuck the other gender, fuck. I don't think that yeah, that's going to end up, weird. I think you're going to hurt a lot of guys. Like for some guys, sure, that's great, like but I feel like you're doing more harm. Too. Like what?
Like that's bad. That's a shit first principle. Like other genders.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought you meant they had other. I thought you meant they had other like principles that were bad.
No. I'm just saying like that's a. If you're building a community, I was reflecting you. It's like if you're building a community based on first principles that are like fuck that gender. Yeah. That's not good.
I'm sure you're going to say like yeah, I'm on board with this idea. But I've always had this idea that if you build a community around something negative, that's not a healthy community. So like if you go on Reddit and you find a community that's like. Angry at women, like the Red Pill can be that way a little bit, or you know, a super hardcore feminist one, or one that like bitches mm-hmm. about like people melting down in public, like anything that's negative. Those communities yeah. tend to be toxic people because they are going there seeking negative energy. They're not adding anything. They're not building anything. They don't want to improve anything. They kind of want to tear it all down. And you see that in a lot of like watchdog communities as well, where they like, as in. When I say watchdog, I mean like mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. they monitor other people and like complain about people like, oh, look at this YouTuber said mm-hmm. the wrong thing, like stuff like that. They tend to be very negative because you're not building anything. And I think like we've done a reasonable job on our forums of like keeping that shit out and just saying like, no, you're here to fucking mm-hmm. build something. Like there's a couple of people that yeah. have started political threads and Radical, the moderator, has jumped in and gone like, hey, I'm locking this thread. Like, let's not sit here and bitch about politics. If you want to complain, yeah, you're right, welcome to do that. And he's really good at that. And I'll make it clear right now, you're welcome to complain in your own threads. Of course, I complain about shit all the time. But just do that in your thread. Like, don't start a whole discussion where we all get around and bitch about, like, the politics or stuff that we can't really yeah. change because you're just making yourself negative.
To go back to building a community based on a negative, like, that's the whole problem. So there's one small shift that is super profound that the Black Lives Matter needs to do. Because what they're doing now, and I don't want to get this into political, but like just to make it relevant to like today's stuff, like the whole community is based off of stop violence and discrimination against Black people, which is cool. Like that's great. Like I think that's a good thing. But instead of stopping discrimination, I think it should be like promoting inclusion, which sounds like the same thing, but they're not. And so like it's just an example of like when you build something when your whole empire is built on a negative, what
like you're only giving negative energy. Yes. You can't defeat the boogeyman. If you beat like oppression, then you cease to exist. So by definition, your entire like cause can't win. You don't want it to win because then you will have to disband, and you kind of need that because it's interesting to you. It's something to do. It's your mission. It's your goal in life mm-hmm. is to be in this group.
The war on drugs is never
it'll just go forever. Ever. Yeah. All this shit will go forever. Yeah, for sure. I did a podcast with a woman yesterday Georgie Wolf. I haven't released it yet, but by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be out. And we talked a little bit about like domestic violence and how the domestic violence, the way that they target that is like men stop hitting women. And also that other podcast, we talked about that other podcast I did where I was like, men should stop raping women. Like when you have
heard that one, that was hilarious.
That was me ranting in a park. That was like fucking,
that was so hilarious.
But like when you make it a negative, like men stop hitting women, men stop raping women. That's not targeting the problem. You're just contributing more negative energy. And it seems like you're doing something, but you're not. You're just getting across to the guys that do hit women. You're a bad person. And so that guy's not going to go like, oh, well, how do I be a good person? He's going to go, well, I guess I'm a bad person. He's going to shut down, withdraw. He's not going to seek help. He's not going to go to anger management. He's just going to fucking beat his wife and keep it secret and tell her, you better not fucking tell anyone because they'll all say I'm a bad person. The way that you beat this stuff is like shining a light on it, bringing them towards the light, saying like, hey, look, you're not a bad person, but you're doing something really bad right now. And that needs to stop. Let's get you in a healthy mindset. What can we do instead? How can you love your wife? How can you respect your wife? How can you respect yourself? Why are you beating her? Let's deal with that. Is it because you went through some trauma? Let's uncover that. Let's process that. You have to start working towards like something positive instead of like, just stop the negative. And you see that in so many communities, like you're talking about, like Black Lives Matter. Defund the police. Like black people should not get like targeted. I agree. Black people probably shouldn't be targeted. I don't like racial profiling. It's not really an issue here in Australia. It's more of an American issue. But like you don't solve those issues by just saying like stop them. Same with feminism. If you really cared about feminism, you would be educating women. You would be helping them. You would be giving them assertiveness training. There you go. I just solved all of your issues. If you want women, if you want feminism, start giving out free assertiveness training. Teach them how to say no. Give them a free copy of that book. When I say no, I feel guilty. Give every woman a free copy of the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Yeah, like those two books, those work for women. Give every woman, there you go. That's your feminism. I've just like build women up. Don't try and pull men down. That's the worst way of doing it ever. Like you're rich. Hey, you see this in taxes as well. Like we should tax the rich. It's like, why don't we educate everyone else on how to climb to the next ladder? Why don't you do that? Why don't we teach people how to start a business? Why don't we teach people how to climb that rung on the corporate ladder? Why don't we teach people assertiveness training so they can get a promotion at work? Why don't we teach? Because no one really gives a fuck about one thing I've learned, cynical old me. People don't really give a fuck about the problems they pretend they give a fuck about. Like they really don't give a shit. They just want to do the quick, easy fix. Yeah, fine. Some people do. But most people just have a childlike notion of
the vast majority for sure. It's not like a small majority. It's a vast majority, I believe.
They're more interested in appearing to care than actually fixing the problem. Because a lot of the time fixing the problem is very counterintuitive. I said this on the podcast, on that rape podcast. If you wanted to fix, if you wanted to minimize pedophilia and harm to children, you need to empathize with pedophiles. No one wants to fucking do that, do they? No one fucking wants to go to a pedophile and say, why are you doing this? Is it because you were touched as a child? I'm really sorry that happened to you. You didn't fucking deserve that. That's how you fix or minimize pedophilia. That's how you get, you put your arm around them. You don't want to do it, but you put your arm around them and say, I'm really sorry that that shit happened to you, but you can't keep that cycle going. You can't do that to other children because then what happened to you, now someone else has to suffer. And that's two people who have to suffer. Like it can end with you. You have that power. I believe you are good. I believe you have good in you and you can stop. I believe you can do something and make a difference in all the people that you would have victimized. You can stop that right now. You can be a force for good. You can go on. I've seen that there's a movement. I don't know what you want to call it, but they're called something like conscientious pedophiles or something like that. There's some word for it like that. Mm-hmm. And they call themselves this and they go on national TV and they talk about it. And they're basically people who have the pedophile urges, but they've never done anything. And there's one guy who gives like seminars and talks on how to seek help and how many counselors he's had and how he reaches out to family. If he like literally, if he sees a kid, he'll, I don't think he goes through these issues anymore, but in the past, if he saw a kid and he was like, oh, I should, he'd like fucking text his mate and be like, yo, hey, this is happening. Like, what do I do? Hey, go home. Like that's how you beat the fucking problem. You shine a light on it. It's not glamorous. It's not pretty. I get that most people want to just like beat them with a stick and say, you're a sick pedophile, but now you've just caused more pedophilia. So good job, fucking retards who like to pretend they know what, pretend that they care. You're just actually contributing to more women getting raped, more children getting abused, more women getting punched, more black people getting oppressed, like blah, blah, blah. Rant over. That's my sermon over.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think it's like chastising people and and ridiculing people, it's not going to help anybody. It might like make you feel temporarily better, but then obviously it doesn't, because most people, like, it's not like, oh, I ranted about how black people are getting oppressed, I'm never going to rant about it again. It's like, no, like, I'm probably going to get angrier. So it's like, yeah, black people shouldn't get oppressed 100%. But it's like, you're not solving anything by getting angry at people. And in fact, like, you're kind of like, I'm kind of like, so here's the thing. Like, I went to a group home when I was 15 through 18, and I was actually the only white guy from, so there are 12 to 14 people inside the house at one point. And the whole time I was either the only white guy or one of two white guys. And everyone else was black and Latino. So like, I know what it's like to be like the only white dude, which is not common for white dudes. But I would say I'm like one of the least racist like white dudes, you know. But sometimes when I'm in a conversation with somebody who's like anti-racist or whatever, like I feel like I want to, like, I feel like they're kind of like expecting me to be racist. So I almost like feel like pushed into like, well, you think, you know, it's almost like when somebody expects you to be an asshole, you'll kind of like be an asshole.
You just rise to the occasion. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's almost like I kind of want to say racist things now because you're like, you've.
Yeah. Cause you're pissing me off. You're telling me that I'm racist. So you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to drop the N-bomb. Why not? Cause you're fucking telling me that I will anyway. So why wouldn't I? That's like psychology 101.
It's also because we have different, like, we talked about this in the last podcast. We have different, like, in America, there's like, over in England, there's probably, England, in Australia, like.
How dare you, sir?
Saying that word in England.
For saying nigger, fuck no. Nigger's just a word you say all the time. Just like cunt. We say cunt, like, yeah. But I get that I would never say that to a black person in America because that'd be a bit fucked up because I understand it has connotations. I'd never say like kike or chink or any of those words to someone or near someone. And the only reason I say nigger is because it pisses people off.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit about like, maybe I should care about Jewish slurs, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like when you're expecting somebody to act a certain way. And I get, like, if you've personally had, like, if you're, like, say you're a black person, your father was lynched or your mother was lynched, like, I can understand why you might, like, be super angry at all white people for, like, a certain period of time because you have this traumatic thing. Like, I understand in those situations where, like,
I do and I don't. I do and I don't. I feel like your best mission is to move past it and get to a word, get to a place where the word means nothing.
Yes, but before that, I can understand, like, for me, for instance, I have protection mechanisms against women, and I know that women aren't like that. I know that not all women are like that. The red pill will disagree with me, but I know that not all women are like my mom was, and so, but I still have, like, it's not something that I can easily understand. Like, I have to keep pushing myself to believe that women are, like, this blueprint that I kind of make up, because, like, most people have this blueprint from their childhood. I have this blueprint from my childhood. I have to kind of like brainwash myself to be like, no, women are actually like this. They're not like this. This is what you might've seen, but that's just one, like your mom was just a specific type of woman.
Yeah. Most women
And so I can understand how, like, if you're black and your brother was shot by like some angry white dude, I can understand how you might for a period of time be like, white people are like this. Like, I can understand that, but I don't think most people that are angry at white people are like that. I don't think most people that are, there are some that think that way, but that are for like a good reason, emotional, not accurate, but like for a good reason. But I think most of them are just kind of like riding the train of
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's the thing to be angry about. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially white dudes. Like, I think that's hilarious. Like, I don't want to get this in, like, I guess we could stop after this or unless you have something else to say, but, I had an Uber passenger come in and he's like a white dude and he instantly comes in the car. And he's like, you know what? This is like around July or like right after the George Floyd thing. And he was like, you know, I'm really angry at white people. And I'm like, okay, why? And he's like, well, we're just so racist. And I'm like, are you racist?
Are like, you projecting, no, you fucking piece of shit? Like, that's what I'd say. I'd be like, you're fucking projecting, you racist cunt. Like, get out of my taxi. Get in my fucking Uber. You're racist prick. Like, we're not all racist. Yeah. You're being racist by saying white people are racist.
Yeah, and so I was like, so are you racist? He's like, no. So I'm like, well, isn't it racist to make a generalization?
About
the white people.
Imagine saying a racist. Imagine saying a racist statement and then, are you racist? No. It's like, should we rewind the tape for 5 seconds ago where you just said the racist statement? Should we just, yeah. Does that not count? Like,
that was a fun time.
Imagine you're like, beating your wife. It's like beating your wife while saying, I really respect women. Like, as you're fucking beating your wife. I respect the shit out of women. I love women. I'd never harm a woman. Like, I'd never say anything racist. It's just white people. It's just an entire race. Fuck them. White's not a race.
Yeah. Nope. None at all. Well, neither is black, really. I mean, like, there's a bunch of different places in Australia. In Australia. In fucking Africa. You know what I mean? But that was a fun conversation. Like, it's funny because he very quickly just didn't have much to say, and I think he just expected me to, like, play off of him. He expected us to both get into, like, yeah, fuck white people, like, synergy.
But, like, you're both white. I'm so confused.
Yeah. So, like, the moment I started questioning him, like, I wasn't, like, angry at him. I mean, internally, I was like, what the fuck is, like, I'm kind of just annoyed. I'm, like, disappointed and annoyed. But outwardly, I just had a rational conversation. I was like, okay, well, like, are you racist? Or, okay, like, well, I would just come back with a intelligent question that got him to question himself, and he would, like, then change the point he was saying, like, move the goalpost and, like, maybe make a different point about white people or whatever. And, like, eventually he had nothing else to say, and I was like, oh, okay, this is, like, I hope I helped him learn today. He probably went
home. I don't think so. You were talking to an NPC. You're talking to someone who Jordan Peterson calls them ideologically possessed. Like, they are just possessed by their own ideology. They're just spitting memes. Like, they're copy-pasting what they heard on TV or in an article or something. White people are racist. And then you're like, well, have you ever thought through that sentence? Like, can you explain? And they're like, no, can't you just tell we're all racist? It's like a possession. It's like they're hysterical and they're not actually thinking. I just use the word NPC for those kind of people. Someone who hasn't thought more than one step ahead of whatever they're saying. Because they're not. They're not operating in the same.
I was like 20 or 21. I was like that.
Most young people are. I was like before I was like 24. And if you're 21 listening to this, I'm not saying that you're a fucking NPC. I'm saying most people of that age range are not as awake as they think they are. It doesn't necessarily, if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably not you. Yeah.
I keep interrupting you, so I'm going to put my hand up more.
Go, sir. Go.
I forgot what I was going to say. So I'm not going to say anything. Did you just punch your llama? Are you a llama?
No, not at all, sir. No, no. Hey, if you're going to cut it off, as in cut your dick off, let's switch it up. Let's call this the end of the podcast. I'm leaving this in the recording, by the way. So I'm going to do a podcast on your podcast. But we'll start wrapping up. Oh, my God. You didn't know. It's a surprise I've dropped on you. So is there anything you want to shout out? Like, obviously, your channel, your YouTuber.
Yeah, Passion Unchained. Yeah. So I'm a YouTuber, like this motherfucker. And my YouTube channel is about how to build a life that you love, specifically one that fits you like a glove, which rhymes. I actually started saying that and I realized it rhymed. Talk about lifestyle shit, philosophy shit, like tips and tricks. Like, I did a video on how not to send butthurt texts. I do that a lot and I stopped. Well, I'm getting better at it. Sometimes I still do, but I'm a lot better at it and I have some really good tips. I did a video on sleep hygiene. I did a video on I have this whole like series called The Explorer's Code, which is like 8-9 videos about how to explore your passions in your life and figure out what you love. Because when you build a life you love, you need to like figure out what you love. And that's how do you explore and figure out what you love? Because a lot of people I talk to, they're like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. And so like the answer is find out what you're passionate about. And so I have a whole series of videos on that. And then I have a whole series of videos on like how to actually follow your passion and hint, you actually have to do some work. It's not like it's not like you follow your passion and then cut end a movie like, yay, flowers. It's not that. You have to actually do that's when the work starts.
I can't wait till you and I get to a point like I'm getting close. Like maybe you can say I'm there already because I can support myself pretty well at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till you get there as well because I suspect the further along we get with this stuff, the more money we make, the more people we help, the bigger our audience, like all that kind of shit. You'll get to a point where people just like forget I had this conversation with Imogen. They'll forget all the work that you had to put in to get there, and they'll just say like, oh, I'm jealous of you. Look at you, Joe, like doing YouTube. That's so cool. Look, Andy, you get to do a podcast and like help people. You're so lucky. And it's like, the problem with doing that again is you're distancing yourself from us. And so I'm going to make it my mission to keep up with, I do a good job of it already, but like keep showing like, no, look how hard I had to work to get here. I'm still working hard now. I want to make that really clear to people. I think I do a good job of that with like getting laid and stuff and saying like, I was a fucking depressed, obese loser. Like I didn't just wake up and be able to get laid. Neither did you. You fucking went through a hell of a lot of mental anguish.
I love that.
Yeah. So are you on your channel, to be fair. And that's something...
I just started.
We'll start wrapping up, but do you want to talk about that when I go on your podcast? That's worth talking about on your podcast, like being vulnerable with audiences and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So so if people are watching this on your channel, like your interview got released on my channel a long time ago because I'm like, I kind of release it like the day of or the next day. So this will probably be like released... This will be released probably like in what, 2 weeks from now?
Two and a bit weeks, yeah. So go to Joe's channel and what are you going to call this video? Or the video, the podcast that I do, just like interview with Andy or some shit? I don't know, whatever you want to fucking call it.
Yeah, so I'll probably say interview with Andy, Kill Your Inner Loser. Should I say Kill Your Inner Loser or The Inner Winner Show? What do you want
to... Okay, I will leave a link in the description to this podcast. I know we're confusing the shit out of everyone right now. Guys, as you're listening to this podcast right now, this podcast, I will leave a link in the description called like Joe interviewing me, and that will have a link to the podcast that I do with him.
Yeah,
that so I have done with him.
The Dom, and then I'm going
to
be the
Dom. And then he's going to be the Dom. Yeah, so I'll leave links in the description to everything, to Joe's channel, to the stupid shirt that he's wearing if you want to buy it yourself. I'll also link to the video he did on how to not send butthurt texts, and I'll give a final shout out to the Winners Club, which is my accountability group. Joe's in the Winners Club. Fucking awesome. If you guys want to sign up, you can come harass Joe every day and you can have me and Joe as your biggest cheerleaders. That's true. We'll be like little pom-poms and everything. Yeah. All right, guys. Adios. Thank you, Joe, for coming on. Good shit. Stay classy.
Thank you.